This is the Cambridge International Legal English Certificate Listening Test, May 2007. Look at the information for candidates on the front of your question paper. This paper requires you to listen to a selection of recorded material and answer the accompanying questions. There are four parts to the test. You will hear each part twice. There will be a pause before each part to allow you to look through the questions and other pauses to let you think about your answers. At the end of every pause, you will hear this sound. You should write your answers in the spaces provided on the question paper. You will have 5 minutes at the end to transfer your answers to the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. You must ask any questions now, as you will not be allowed to speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. Part one. Questions 1 to 6. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B, or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. You will hear each extract twice. Now look at the questions for extract 1.
When a company wants, for example, to buy new machinery or invest in property, it can choose to sell shares to investors. This is called equity finance. Or it can utilize debt finance, that is, take out a loan at the bank. Most commercial loans start life as a term sheet, which is negotiated between the bank and the borrower. Our job as lawyers is to turn the term sheets into legally binding documents. So we'll find ourselves carrying out due diligence on the borrower and checking that the conditions placed on the loan by the bank, the conditions precedent, are in place. Loan transactions often have tight timescales, from the date we as lawyers get involved to the date when the bank is expecting to pay out, so there's considerable pressure to get the documents agreed by then. If deadlines slip, the unlucky borrower may find the asset he needed the funds for is no longer obtainable. And the bank's approval of a loan will often be conditional on the money being lent by a certain date. If this deadline is missed, approval by the bank may have to be sought again, and this time it might well be refused.
Now you will hear the recording again.
When a company wants, for example, to buy new machinery or invest in property, it can choose to sell shares to investors. This is called equity finance. Or it can utilize debt finance, that is, take out a loan at the bank. Most commercial loans start life as a term sheet, which is negotiated between the bank and the borrower. Our job as lawyers is to turn the term sheets into legally binding documents. So we'll find ourselves carrying out due diligence on the borrower and checking that the conditions placed on the loan by the bank, the conditions precedent, are in place. Loan transactions often have tight timescales, from the date we as lawyers get involved to the date when the bank is expecting to pay out, so there's considerable pressure to get the documents agreed by then. If deadlines slip, the unlucky borrower may find the asset he needed the funds for is no longer obtainable. And the bank's approval of a loan will often be conditional on the money being lent by a certain date. If this deadline is missed, approval by the bank may have to be sought again, and this time it might well be refused.
Now look at the questions for extract 2.
So how did you get on with the antitrust book?
Oh, it's great, isn't it? I mean, you know how many others there are on the subject, but this one must be unique.
Because it takes a sort of philosophical look at the basic principles, you mean?
Exactly.
But that doesn't make it an easy read.
No, I found I was having to skip the difficult bits here and there. But I can see it would be really useful for people specialising in that area. Hardly likely to sell in large numbers, though.
More of a reference book. As the writer says in his introduction, I seem to remember. Now look, on our course, we've got competition law on the syllabus. Don't you think we should be spreading the word around about this book? At the next lecture, maybe?
I don't know. At our level, we probably need to know more about the regulations than the philosophy of it. So it might not be essential reading. And when you think of the size of our reading list, it hardly seems worth it for everybody.
Maybe you're right.
Now you will hear the recording again.
So how did you get on with the antitrust book?
Oh, it's great, isn't it? I mean, you know how many others there are on the subject, but this one must be unique.
Because it takes a sort of philosophical look at the basic principles, you mean?
Exactly.
But that doesn't make it an easy read.
No, I found I was having to skip the difficult bits here and there. But I can see it would be really useful for people specialising in that area. Hardly likely to sell in large numbers, though.
More of a reference book. As the writer says in his introduction, I seem to remember. Now look, on our course, we've got competition law on the syllabus. Don't you think we should be spreading the word around about this book? At the next lecture, maybe?
I don't know. At our level, we probably need to know more about the regulations than the philosophy of it. So it might not be essential reading. And when you think of the size of our reading list, it hardly seems worth it for everybody.
Maybe you're right.
Now look at the questions for Extract 3.
I suppose if I had to describe what I do in a nutshell, I'd say a typical commercial dispute from start to finish involves pre-action investigation of a claim, taking statements from witnesses and experts, trial preparation, and then the trial itself. But it's the tactics, the project management and the commercial context of the dispute which bring the basic structure to life. And above all, it's the changing mix of personalities that are inevitably involved from case to case, together with the interplay between them, that reminds me of why I chose this area of practice. I've been involved in a number of matters since my qualification into the department, quite a few large-scale cases, which require big teams of lawyers on both sides. There's an emphasis on structured teamwork in these cases. Tactical and lateral thinking are important. There's always in-depth consideration of the options available in acting in the best interest of the client, then keeping the client informed of what is and isn't happening, and crucially, all the implications of the course of action they choose. These big, high-profile cases mean that PR implications have to be borne in mind at all times, too.
Now you will hear the recording again.
I suppose if I had to describe what I do in a nutshell, I'd say a typical commercial dispute from start to finish involves pre-action investigation of a claim, taking statements from witnesses and experts, trial preparation, and then the trial itself. But it's the tactics, the project management and the commercial context of the dispute which bring the basic structure to life. And above all, it's the changing mix of personalities that are inevitably involved from case to case, together with the interplay between them, that reminds me of why I chose this area of practice. I've been involved in a number of matters since my qualification into the department, quite a few large-scale cases, which require big teams of lawyers on both sides. There's an emphasis on structured teamwork in these cases. Tactical and lateral thinking are important. There's always in-depth consideration of the options available in acting in the best interest of the client, then keeping the client informed of what is and isn't happening, and crucially, all the implications of the course of action they choose. These big, high-profile cases mean that PR implications have to be borne in mind at all times, too.
That is the end of part one.